for a presidential inauguration. And he was going to write a poem for that inauguration. And he was supposedly this cutting edge, on top of it, poet who everybody was looking up to. And she picked him up. He was the most narcissistic person you'd ever want to meet. There was nothing that could satisfy him. Everything was part of the man. And, you know, and it's just one of those guys you just want to slap. At least I did. And her fiance was a physicist. And when they introduced, you know, his opinion of poetry is it's a waste of time. And so she asked him not to start up anything with this poet because she really respected his work. And he said, all right, I won't. Well, as soon as he told the poet he was a physicist, it was on. He said, you know, you guys created a nuclear bomb, you did this, you did that, you're destroying the planet. And he says, you know what? He said, those are just some nice generalizations you threw together that are commercialized. He said, what you don't understand. He says, you claim you understand the world in words, looking at it. He says, but let me tell you something. I see the same exact things you see. I see the beauty. He says, I see that red flower. And I understand why the insects are drawn to it, because of its color, which tells me that the bugs can see in color. He said, I see the details. I know why things are beautiful. And he said, and I no less enjoy the beauty of this world, but I understand it deeper than you do. Which ultimately ended up changing the poet's idea or thoughts. And you know, folks, that's how our lives really are sometimes. We just look on the surface, oh, God, my life stinks. This has happened, that's happened, this has happened. You know, newsflash, everybody goes through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's not always death. Sometimes it's the valley of the shadow of caca. A lot of it. And ultimately, we sit and look, God, my life is awful, this, that, that, that. Our lives are what we have made them. We need to understand that first and foremost. You don't like your life, guess who screwed it up? We blame God. Oh, God, if you just, you know, why did you do this? Why? Well, you know what? People made decisions. You know, if you were a child and you're not real thrilled with how things turned out, somebody made a decision, good or bad. At this juncture, you can't turn back the clock and go back and say, can we redo this? There's a lot of things I'd like to say, can I have a redo on that? Because I know a little better now. It's like taking a test. Can I take it over? I know the answers now. And what did they always do? They changed the questions. It's why it never paid me to skip a day when we had a test. I got a different test than everybody else got. But our lives have meaning. They have a purpose. You may say, well, you know, I'm not out laying hands on people every day. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Why are you looking at somebody else's life? Early on in this ministry, it took me some time. I mean, as soon as I became a pastor and people started getting to know me and stuff, other people started coming, all right, man, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, I'm like, why? Why do I need all that? And then I was like, oh man, you know, and I was wearing a relatively short haircut, pretty much what I've got now. And I remember going into the barber shop and I said, you know, I need something a little more professional looking. I said, I'm a pastor now. I guess I should start acting the part. And I got to tell you, I mean, there went a whole, this woman was the rudest person you ever wanted to meet sometimes. But she said, why? I don't know. She said, why do you need to fit somebody else's mold? I said, you're right. Give me the usual. And you know, when I sit back and I look, it's like, God, you know, I wish this could have happened. I wish that could have happened. I wish. But then I look back at my decisions. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that weren't going to happen. You know why? Because of decisions I made in school. Don't do my homework. Don't study. Pass the first 3 9 weeks and blow off the last. That worked out real well for me. Not. So when I look back on my life, it was decisions I made. Yeah, I couldn't control everything that happened to me. None of us can. But I could have controlled a few things. And it was only when I was in the Marines that I finally started buckling down and studying. But it was different things that I really enjoyed, like close order drill and things of that nature that I just thrived on. But when it came to studying for a stupid test when I was in school, are you kidding me? I don't care how to fill out this repair order or this shopping list. I don't care. You know what? That just about cost me. That just about cost me because I almost failed it. And if I had failed it, that means I'd have been recycled back to the class behind me, which is very shameful. I hated seeing them guys when we'd pick them up because, man, they came in all defensive because we looked at them as failures. Well, fast forward for a couple years, not quite four, I now understand why God wanted me to pay attention to that. I got moved out of the job that I was supposed to do. I was supposed to be a diesel mechanic, and I was a pretty good mechanic. But anybody that's ever been in the military knows as soon as you show you've got some intelligence, they pull you out of the job you love and stick you somewhere you don't. And that's what happened to me. And I got stuck as a MIMS clerk. I said, God, no, this has its own MOS. It's got its own school and everything. And they said, you're going in here. And I went and I begged, please don't put me in there. My warrant officer said, nope, you're going. We need somebody. And we can't just take anybody in there. I said, oh, man, and as soon as I got in there, I got handed, I think my company had around 200, I think it was between 2 and 250 pieces of rolling stock that I had to keep the records for, fill out repair orders, and shopping lists. I said, are you kidding me? The one thing of 8 weeks of school that I hated, I now have to do as my job. And they did. They sent me to a 2-week school to learn how to do all that stuff properly. But here's the worst part of it all for me. I inherited a mess. The clerks, Eighth Motors, the entire battalion had got deployed during Desert Storm and Desert Shield, and none of the records were there. And we were about 6 months out from a major inspection to see if everything was where it needed to be. And I said, God, there's nothing here. There's not even files for half of these vehicles. And I was actually ticked. And so I started bringing work home, filling out equipment repair order, aero and aerosols, that's what they were called, at one after another to make things look like the records were where they were supposed to be. I got so good at signing my own gunny's signature, he changed his signature so he knew which one was real. Then when I copied that one, he gave up. But I kid you not, I had hundreds and hundreds of pages I had to fill out. Not knowing why, I was so ticked. I was like, God, I didn't sign up for this. Man, I'm stuck in an office, which is a disgrace. Honestly, it was. We made fun of office pogues. Pencil desk jockeys. And here I am leading the pack now. Well, the time came for us to have the inspection. We had Officers in there pulling every one of our work orders out. They checked things. They made for signatures, dates. Private Smuccatelli signed a lot of stuff. And there was just a lot of stuff I had to make because it did not exist. You don't understand. And you may say, well, you had to do, you did. Yeah, welcome to the real world. Not everything works as you think. Well, when it boiled down and they passed everything out, I got a call to come to the CO's office. Now, if you understand anything, me and my CO didn't get along. I didn't like him and he didn't like me. And to get called to his office wasn't a good thing. And I got in there and then I was informed that my performance at my job had brought Bravo or Alpha Company's equipment status from 70% to 95% combat ready because of what I did. By the way, I became a clinger. I was trading with other companies for parts that we needed and stuff like that so we could get our trucks fixed, which resulted in me getting a certificate of commendation from the commanding general. Now, I tell you all that to tell you sometimes you don't know why you're going through hell. You don't know why you suddenly got taken from the thing you enjoyed doing. But God had a purpose. God knew what needed to happen. See, we have these dreams. How many of you still have dreams? Let me see a show of hands. Okay, that should honestly should be everybody's hands should be up. You're still breathing. You have dreams. You have goals and desires, things you want to accomplish. One of my desires is to go see the giant redwoods. And then I learned the other day that the drive-through Sequoia fell. And it's like, you know, they don't live forever. I'm going to just have to up my pace on getting there. But we all have dreams and desires. Things that we're looking forward to. And when they don't come, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. When we have a dream of something we're going after and it doesn't come when we want, don't we get a little depressed? That's what it's talking about, is depression. It's just not going as quick as I wanted it. God, it's just not working out. How about you stop and ask God, what am I doing? What am I doing that is not conducive to me getting there? God, I want this, and I want to be able to do that. Most of the time, as I said, folks, a lot of people look and say, well, you prayed for me. This is all taken care of now. No, it's not. It's just a part of the battle. It's just a part. You have to do something yourself. You have got to make some change in your life. God, I want to lose weight, but I just can't. Well, you know what? If I were to sit down and be brutally honest with you, and I'll put it brutally because you'll be crying, I can guarantee I can point out why you're not losing your weight. Are you eating sugary snacks before bed? I'm trying to cut out some sugar and just for other reasons, but and I'm not diabetic. Don't go getting crazy. My sugar's fine. But trying to drink more water. I drink my water at night. You need to drink 10 glasses a day. Says who? Well, you're dehydrated. I know when I'm dehydrated. I've been hearing this garbage for 40 years now. I get a kidney stone now. That's when I know I'm dehydrated. But I also learned that I can't eat sugars and a lot of heavy stuff just before bed. A bowl of popcorn works great. My portion sizes, cut them back a little bit. I'm not going to worry about all this other stuff. Because first off, worry itself will cause you problems. You need to make changes. And 9 times out of 10, the biggest change is you're not disciplined. If I were to tell you that for 13 weeks, I ate potatoes 3 times a day, drank chocolate milk, and we called it bug juice, which is Kool-Aid, every day. And on top of that, probably about 2 gallons of water. Every day, I gained 20 pounds. 20 pounds. By the way, it was all muscle. But you know what changed? I became disciplined. I was working out. I was doing this. I was doing that. Anymore? I think about working out, and I feel achy. I'm very undisciplined. I'm not going to lie. But we get things that we're, goals we're setting. First off, you need to ask God, what goal should I set? Here's what a lot of us do. We set such a high and lofty goal, we will never, ever hit it. You know, people say, aim high. At least if you missed, you got up there. Let me ask you a question. The human psyche, does it not respond better if you attain things? Can I tell you what receiving that certificate of commendation meant for me? It meant the world. It meant somebody paid attention to the fact that for the last 6 to 8 months, I have busted my butt. And if you understand, if you know anything about Marines, they do not give out awards and certificates and things left and right. Everything we get was earned. And that meant the world to me. I've even got it on display in my office. That meant so much to my ego, my person, me, that following that, man, I jumped right out and started doing some really good things. Got put on a promotion board, went all the way up to the group, which is our highest level. Everybody looked at me and said, where did you come from? Because the previous promotion board, I was walking out with my NCO sword thrown across my shoulder like Papa Shotgun, and the first sergeant climbed up one side of my back and right down my front, telling me that was not my Papa Shotgun. I'm like, I don't know. Boy, the next 9 or 6 weeks or whatever it was, I walked out there and he just stood there with his jaw hanging. Because I had been taught how to use it. I'd been taught how to do what I was supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I loved it. I found there was a part of me that loved that. And had I stayed in, I've told Angela, she knew this, had I stayed in, I was headed to Paris Island. I loved it. But you see, that changed so much for me by being recognized for something. When you set a goal, I don't care what it is. If you want to run a mile and you can only run a half mile, well, start making it 50 yards further each time. I promise you right now, if I go out and try to run 100 yards, I'm going to feel it for the next week. And because I'm undisciplined now, I'm not going to go out and do what I know I should, is run every day. So your goals, if you keep getting up and going back down, it's because you're setting goals you can never attain. Set goals you can attain. Oh, well, you know, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm different. We're all the same. We're all the stinking doggone same. We need to hear attaboy. But you're never going to hear attaboy if you've set your... Let's say you want to lose weight. I got a 50-pound goal. Great. Where are you starting? I'm going to lose all 50 pounds. What are you going to do next week when you gain 5? Exactly. Who said that? Judy. You cry. I'm going the wrong way. Exactly. How about you said, I'm going to lose 2 pounds? That I can lose more than that. Listen, I used to be able to drop 5 pounds just by skipping a meal. That don't happen anymore. And I'm going to tell you something else. Somebody once told me, and this has actually helped me out so much because I was letting that get on me. Would I feel a little better if I dropped a few pounds? Yeah. I'd actually feel better if I could run. Can't do that right now. But he said, there's an age you hit, you're just not going to lose it. So quit worrying about it. Those are words of wisdom. Because you know what? I've seen all my elders in my family. There comes a point, I'm going to look like the shriveled up old sea hag. They all shriveled up to nothing. Downside is they all shrank too. I don't fare very well at this juncture. But you see, your goals should be something you can attain. Well, I want to be a vice president of the company. Guess what? You may have to start out cleaning the toilets. Well, that ain't going to get me anywhere. It got you in the door, didn't it? Well, you just don't know what. You're just some dumb redneck. Yes, I am. Thank you very much. But I'm a dumb redneck who's happy. Oh, by the way, I'm also president and CEO of 2 companies. They're not multi-billion dollar companies, but hey, I is what I is. Let's go to Genesis. I believe it's chapter 24. Verse 67, it says, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isaac was dealing with depression. His mother had died. Do you know what took place just before his mother died? His daddy tried to kill him. Oh, by the way, Isaac wasn't 12. Isaac, I believe, was closer to 40. Just because we use the word lad in the English does not mean he was but a boy. But compared to Abraham, who was 100 years older than him, he's a boy. Isaac was dealing with depression. Why? Because all his life, his papa has shared the dream with him. Imagine being Isaac. You're the only son of promise. And you come out every night and your daddy's standing there and saying, see those stars, boy? Our descendants, they will come from you. They will be like the stars. See the sand? He did the same thing to Isaac that God had done to him. He planted a dream. But when his mother died, it threw him for a loop. He didn't know what to do. He got a little sideways. And Abraham had the wisdom to say, go find him a wife. And the servants went, they found him Rebekah. And you read it right there. He took her as his wife and he loved her. And he was comforted. In other words, his joy returned. Everything he was going for returned. He started remembering. Because, by the way, he now had hope. Did he not? Before, I ain't even got a wife. How on this earth am I going to procreate? I don't even have a wife. God gave him a wife. Then God gave him children. And the rest is history. Jeremiah 29:11, God's telling Jeremiah, he says, you know, I know the thoughts I have for you and the plans. I know what I want to do for you. I want to give you a future and a hope. Folks, we're not any different than Jeremiah. God is no, he doesn't play favorites. Well, you know, this is all I thought about Jeremiah. The rest of you, I don't give a rip. God cares so much. Listen, that he will use everything in you. Everything that's ever done to you, he will use to good for you. Even the bad. Okay? We actually got it talking about this morning in there. How God used the lust of Potiphar's wife to move Joseph on down the line. How he used the jealousy of his brothers to get him to Egypt to begin with. All these bad things. I think he, what, spent 12 years in prison? But even then, God said, I'm going to elevate you. He's kind of like the trustee who gets to take care of the warden's dog. You got great confidence. Your life isn't as bad as everybody else's. Even in Potiphar's house, he was just bought as a general houseboy. And God elevated him to a position of prominence. So much so that he trusted Joseph with his wife. Shouldn't have trusted his wife. Because Joseph probably wasn't the first one she had went after. God used all that. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that he will work all things to our good if we love him. That's a paraphrased verse. Don't go, you misquoted this. That will hold water. He doesn't cause us to do evil. A lot of things that took place, like sibling rivalry, that's all that took place that got him thrown into the pit to begin with. His brothers were jealous because he came up and he said, you know what, boys? I had a dream. Here, let me tell you about the dream. The sun and the moon, they bowed to me, and 11 stars. And we were all out gathering wheat. And all of a sudden, my stalk of wheat stood up, and all of yours bowed. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand being a little brother, so I'm the big brother. If my little brother, 14 years younger than me, came and said, you're going to serve me one day, he's going to get the beating that the brother up got. It didn't work that way, does it? If you're the oldest particular, and your little brother or sister came and said, you know what, you're going to be my servant. You're going to work for me. Yeah, you're going to laugh at them. But you know what ultimately it's going to do? It's going to create that sibling rivalry. And we all know that the younger children thrive, on passing the older one. Well, they've already done it. I saw a big brother do it, so now I can do it. It used to aggravate the socks off me. My little brother would get on a motorcycle, pop a wheelie, and ride it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I roll the motorcycle over every time I get the front wheel off the ground. He had more courage than I did at that point. Why? Because he saw me do things. So he's younger. He does them, accomplishes them. I know Jesse, he got on a motorcycle one day. Never rode a bike that big. Jumped on it and he rode a wheelie back through the field behind my house. Me and Joshua just stood there like, this just ain't right. It just ain't right. But now little brother's saying, not only are you going to bow, but mom and dad are going to bow. Oh, yeah. That probably went real well. Don't you think Isaac was like, boy, you're smoking crack. Or not Isaac, but Jacob. But he never said anything. Never did anything. Because you know what ultimately ended up happening? God used the jealousy to move Joseph out of his family to get him set up in a land where when people came to him, if they did not bow, see, we don't have a comprehension of this type of respect and honor in this country, none whatsoever. There was a time in life, time and day in life when the president came to your town, everybody showed up. Now we just got stupid people running around. We don't understand the respect for authority, period. But back then, when people came in and they didn't bow before Joseph, they didn't get a second chance. You know, in the end, our Bible says that in the end, every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. If a knee didn't bow, you usually found a spear going through your side or a sword taking your head off. Because it was disrespectful, and you did not disrespect their leaders. So the whole house of Jacob came and had to bow. And God did that all to preserve Israel. Don't you think that as Jacob is sitting in his land and he's running out of food and he's having to send his sons and now he's having to send his one prized son. By the way, there is a problem when you play that game. It's obvious to everybody else. And when he finally had to send that one, don't you think he's thinking, God, why? And God's like, I'm trying to preserve your future and your hope. We live different lives, different goals, different aspirations. Some of us here still just want to get out of high school. That was a good goal for me. I got out of high school. And I remember thinking, Lord, am I so ugly that I can't get a girlfriend? What is the deal? Well, you know what? Ultimately, it was the fact that I wasn't fully in the will of God yet. God knew that there were some things that needed to change before he could give me a wife because I wasn't looking to date a bunch of girls. And that she deserved a man instead of a little boy who had a big mouth. Now she's got a man who's got a big mouth. Nothing changed about the mouth. You see what I'm saying? I was this cocky before. It's just now I've got some things that I can back it up with. What? Folks, this year we have declared that it will be outstanding. For my life to start, for me to even be able to understand and comprehend what outstanding meant, there was a lot of changes that had to take place. The little boy that would always run away from a conflict. Oh, they're mad, they're angry, I better run away. You know what? God did away with that one. Now, I'll be honest with you, today I have to learn not to get involved, when to stay out of it. Okay? And that is a tough one sometimes. When you see injustice happening, you're just like, no, it ain't happening. Well, sometimes there ain't nothing you can really do about it. And anything end well. You follow what I'm saying? And but I had to change so much. I can't tell you how many times I thought of trying to break my leg in boot camp again. That would have been the third time. I thought, you know what? I can live with that pain for a little while. The only thing I didn't realize, had I broke it, all they would have done was sent me to the sick bay, waited till it healed, and put me back in boot camp. I know this because we picked up a guy who did that happened. He had been on the island over 6 months at that point. He graduated. But he says it wasn't as fun as you'd think. God wanted me on active duty. God wanted me to change. He wanted me to get out. He wanted me to stretch. So it meant I had to get uncomfortable. Do you want your dreams to happen? You're going to have to get uncomfortable. People who have businesses, oh, you know, you got a business. You're rolling. I knew one guy in North Carolina. He had been a hippie, biker, pothead type guy. And he had a upholstery business. He'd do convertible tops and your car seats and whatever. And I remember walking in one day, you know, he's like, man, you know, so all these people, he says, they got businesses, you know, and they got money. And he says, I got a business. Where's my money? Well, they've been in business for 20 years. And how long have you been in business? 3? It takes time. The unfortunate thing is he didn't have the character to see anything through and left his family and went to South Dakota with some floozy. But you see, if we will fight, if we will stand the test, our bad characteristics, God can change. The only way things in me changed, first off, I learned how to not be able to run. I mean, come on, when you're locked into a contract, you're not going anywhere. Once I finally got that figured out up here, God said, now I need you to work on the spiritual. And he put me in a church where the pastor was able to teach me. Just because somebody did something doesn't mean you run. Just because somebody hurt your feelings. He taught me how to forgive. And I'm going to tell you right now, that was number one for me. I didn't want to forgive. I wanted to get even. And maybe even, if you know my personality, maybe just a little bit more than even. I wanted to gain some ground. And show people, you don't mess with me. See, God dealt with all of those character flaws. I still got character flaws. We all do. If we're going to be honest about it, we all have things we need to change. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to change them overnight. And you're not going to change them without a little bit of turmoil. But just remember, just as Isaac, he's got these dreams, these goals in his head now that his father has implanted in him. I mean, after all, he did just survive a human sacrifice. Narrowly. See, God's timing isn't what we always think. I'm sure Isaac's thinking back, you know, it would have been nice to have met you on the way up, God. Send that angel down before Dad tied me up and pulled my hair back and said, all right, you ready to die? That's the thing nightmares are made of. You're going to be uncomfortable. You want to start a business? Plan on being uncomfortable. Plan on it. But the rewards are so great. There's so much great that can be had if you're willing to pay some prices. Isaac had to pay prices. He had to be sacrificed. And then later on, he'd have all kinds of things he had to do just to see his grandchildren. See, here's what the hilarious part is. When we read the Bible, our Bible is such a compact narrative of what actually took place. Because, you know, they did travel. The sons would travel away, ways off. But, you know, my sons can see their grandparents. We don't think about that, do we? Isaac got to spend time with his grandchildren. They all did. And some of them he got to see the great-grandchildren. That was his goal. When he started seeing all those boys showing up, and then he could see how God could multiply the seed of Abraham. Well, my goals, I'm not getting anywhere in my goals. Well, ask God if your goals are His goals. Maybe you got the wrong goals. I was supposed to have been a high voltage electrician. Now that I know a little bit more about what needed to take place, I hate math. I hate it with a passion. I'm like, okay, I can do single phase, but when I did the three phase over here, I had to have somebody who understood it. And he broke it all down. He's an engineer. Years of schooling to do that. I was like, I got out of high school. I'm good. But yet, it took more schooling to do what I thought I ultimately wanted to do. I had a chance to be one of the first fiber optic linemen in the area. But that didn't pan out. Actually, it wouldn't have been a lineman because it was all buried. So, folks, when we are spinning our wheels with our goals and our dreams, ask God, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I going where you want me to go? You can ask Rob and Katie about that. They've talked about it. They kept trying to go to Pennsylvania. Trying to sell their house, they're going to Pennsylvania. Then they say, okay, God, we'll go to Ohio if that's where. Was it a week? 4 days, their house sold. When they said, okay, we'll go to Ohio, God said, boom. Now you're in the right direction. We're all like that. God, I want a girlfriend. I want this. I want a wife. All right. Doggone it, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm joining the Marines. Poof! Where were you 4 days ago? She's in the same place. I wasn't. That's what changed. Isaac's goals and dreams changed when Rebecca came into his life. He actually saw life come to him. So did Abraham, by the way. If you read the first verse of the next chapter, it says that he took Keturah, actually more as a concubine than a wife, but he still fathered children with her. Old boy was old and created the Midianites. So don't think you're too old for your dreams to come to pass. And don't think you're too young to start changing the course so that they can. If you want to be a professor at a university, you know what you got to do. If you want to be a rocket scientist, you know what you got to do. If you want to dig ditches, you know what you got to do. Yep. Go out and buy yourself a shovel first. But God is not going to say, I'm going to just whip you into place. Like I said earlier, when we ask God, say, you know what? You changed my attitude. Well, you're in for it. Now, like I said, I never liked it when Dad changed my attitude. Anyone, the truth was, my attitude never really changed. It may have gotten humbled a little bit. And as I've grown older, I've seen some things and understand things, but that comes with maturity.
So this year, to make your year outstanding, first off, ask God, what goal do I set? Where do I want to be in 1 year? Where do I want to be next month? Or next week? If you want to set a goal, if you feel a burning to touch people for Jesus Christ, set a goal. I want to talk to one person next week. But that's not enough. It's enough. One person. And after you have built up and you can talk to one person and properly affect their life. I'm telling you again, folks, when you preach down at people, they don't listen. You got to give up that alcohol, them drugs, and all that stuff. You got to give it up. Until you can relate with them, until you can have compassion on them, you aren't moving in their life. I know, looking back, some of the things I did, decisions I made. I know exactly now why I did them. God has used that so I can be compassionate to people. Because I was raised to be self-righteous. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss. Listen, I'm just going... Yeah, never mind. Let's just quit being stupid. We're called to love. Love one person. If you got to go out of your way to do something for somebody, there's your first step. It don't mean a thing unless it cost you something. Well, they didn't have any respect for what I did. It wasn't about you receiving from them, now was it? You received from God. It's what I've always told you about. If God tells you to give somebody some money, you give them some money. What they do with it is their call. They may actually have more money than you. But God told you to sow the seed. And by the way, they aren't going to come back and repay you. The Bible tells us that when we give to the poor, we loan money to God. And He pays us back. See, you may give Sherry something, but it may be Gloria who blesses you. And if you're saying, well, I gave to Sherry, she should bless me back. No. It ain't how that works. I don't clip my toenails and my fingernails thank me. Although my toes are saying, you need to clip us. No. My body, the whole thing receives the benefit of me clipping my toenails. And maybe so do my wife's feet. If you know, you married couples know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever come flying up out of the bed in the middle of the night. Ah! What on earth is that? Oh, I'm sorry, those were my toenails. Sometime when we're in the Song of Solomon, I'll tell you a little something about toenails. But this year, make your year outstanding because you're growing, you're changing, and getting closer to the goals. If you're trying to stop something, a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Don't say, going cold turkey. You cigarette smokers know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, that ain't happening. That'd be like me saying, all right, we're banning caffeine for everybody. Yeah, that ain't happening. If you're having problems with caffeine and you're drinking too much, yeah, you might want to step it back. But I promise you, if you cut it out, your body's going to react in weird ways. It's just the way our bodies are. You get used to something. Same thing with sugar. You're going to bottom out and you're going to be dragging the ground for a little while. You will recover, but if you just step it back, you can maintain life. And if you're one of those that just says, I just cut it all out and deal with it, I promise you, you keep dealing with it. Over and over and over again. Man, if you tell lies, well, you need to get the truth in you. It's what you need to do. Because you can't speak truth if you're full of lies. And there are people, that's just what they do. I don't understand it. It runs in families. Anybody know, got any family members like that? I got a few. Had an uncle who used to tell people he was in Vietnam in the jungles. Broke his legs, jumping out of a plane. We'd go see him down at the VA hospital in Chillicothe, and he'd look down, he'd pull up his pant leg and show you the scars. Vietnam, jumped out of a plane. And then we'd have to remind him, Robert, you weren't in Vietnam. You were before Vietnam, and you walked out in front of a car, drunk. Well, he listened to everybody else's stories in the VA hospital, and he was telling their stories. And they became real in his mind. What was left of it, anyhow. So make your year outstanding by changing. By getting to your goals. You're going to exercise the faith we talked about last week. Get into the presence of God. Listen, there are times the presence of God can fill your car. The presence of God can be in your workplace. Wherever. And by the way, the presence of God doesn't throw you into a trance where you're... God won't do that. He's not going to steal from your employer. Let's get that straight. I'm tired of goofy Christians. Oh, the presence of God came on me in my workplace and I didn't do nothing for an hour and then my boss fired me. I'd fire your butt too. God didn't have that man hire you to sit in a trance. You're supposed to be processing something, doing something. That's just goofiness. Don't rob your employer. If they're paying you, you do the job. And be grateful for it. If you don't like your job, find another. Look. 9 times out of 10, every time I've asked for God for something, I've had to go out and find it. Very rarely does stuff just end up in my lap. He'll send the right people that'll drop the words, but because I was looking. Do you realize that? And I will close. This is the third closing or something like that. If you are looking for something, you will attract it. I don't care what it is, folks, good or bad. If you're looking for trouble, you'll find it. If you're looking for good, you'll find it. If you're looking for a job, you will find it. Why? Because it will come to you. But if you are not looking, it's not coming for you. We'll talk about that someday. That's as much to operate in faith as fasting and praying. Getting out and looking. The woman with the issue of blood came looking for Jesus. The centurion came looking for Jesus. The people that were healed by Peter's shadow came looking for where the man was taking a walk. And yet we say we're in faith and we won't part our butts off the lazy boy. You need a job and you're spending all your time in your lazy boy. Well, there's your first problem. Get out of the chair. Turn the TV off. And get out. And don't believe the media. There are jobs. And there are good paying jobs. You just got to be willing to work. And that's a problem. Everybody's, I want a computer job. What are you going to do when the computers take away your computer job? Up at the bank here, they keep, have you tried the automatic teller out here? You can just put your deposit in there. I've noticed the tellers at the human beings are getting less and less. Why? Because they kept pushing me to go to the machine. And you're right. It is quicker. But I like to talk to them. Some of them, they have grandchildren, Jesse's age, or they have other children. I know them now. But you see what I'm saying? We are working ourselves out of jobs. School teachers, don't think it's too far. They'll put a monitor in the classroom, get great big classrooms, and there you are. Or holograms, teach classes. You can throw spit wads at the teacher all day. Just take the time to start moving towards your goals. Whatever they are. Use faith. I know you're a little down right now. I'm very positive. And I'm not normally that kind of person. I've always like, well, open up the door. I was used to be the guy to open the door. Here's another room full of horse poop. Anymore, I become the guy that opens up the door, sees a room full of poop, and say, you know what? There might be a pony in here somewhere. We're going to find out what's in the poop. You never know. All right, let's stand. Just don't resist God. If opportunities come your way, pray. Well, I got to take 6 weeks to pray about this, brother. No, the opportunity's on the table for 2 hours. Well, I just don't know. Do you not have the Holy Spirit who is alive and living well right now in you? That's why you have the Holy Spirit, so you can make on-the-fly decisions. Some people, I haven't prayed for 2 hours yet today. I don't know if I can go to that restaurant. Holy smoke. Do you think God left you without help? He said, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you where you need to go. He will give words that you need to speak. So if God takes you and puts you in front of people, He's going to give you the words. You know how I know that's true? For 15 years, every Sunday, God has never failed. And sometimes it's just hard to shut it off. Fortunately for you, I'm hungry today, so we'll use the override button. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are truly grateful that You have desires. You have hopes for us all, Father. I pray now, Lord, that each and every one of us will see clearly what our intentions are. Father, Your goals, You've put goals inside of us to get us to certain places. And they may not be the end result. But yet it got us to the right spot where we needed to start heading to where You wanted us to be. So Father, I pray right now that for each and every person in here who's struggling with where they're supposed to be, Lord, that You give them the courage and You give them the answers of their next step. That they take it, Lord God. And that as they take it, they will learn how to trust You. How to totally rely on You. And Father, that in the end, they will see You had them the whole time. You were leading them and guiding them. Now, Father, I thank You for these people, Lord God. I truly do, Lord. Each and every life is precious. Each and every soul, Lord God, You hold dear. And now, Father, I thank You for them. I bless them, Lord God. I bless this week coming up to them. And pray, Father, that wherever they step, whatever they do, Lord God, is blessed because of You. In Jesus' name, amen.